The Caribbean Today, a digital news panorama by the Latin American News Agency from Havana, Cuba. Today is Friday, February 17, 2023. A brigade of Cuban doctors in the Turkish town of Büyükelçalık began its assistance work on Thursday, the Cuban embassy reported on Twitter. The group left Elbistan on Thursday morning for that community and will render their services there for 7 days at a medical clinic. The collaborators from the Henry Reef International Contingent of Doctors, specialized in disaster situations and serious epidemics, arrived in Turkey last Sunday to help save lives and assist in the recovery of the victims of the two earthquakes that shook this country and Syria on February 6, with a death toll of 36,187, while the injured totaled more than 108,000. Cuba has been working on a draft law on enterprises since 2022, a project to be submitted for discussion and approval this year in December by the Cuban Parliament. The results of a survey conducted for that purpose of 646 state entrepreneurs were presented at a meeting of the Interinstitutional Council of one of the macro programs of the National Economic and Social Development Plan until 2030. Alejandro Gil Fernandez, Deputy Prime Minister and head of the Ministry of Economy and Planning, highlighted the importance of the process of debates and consultations that will take place throughout the national territory to enrich the initial document now being prepared for submission to the country's leadership. Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel recalled through his Twitter account that on February 16, 1959, the historic leader of the revolution, Fidel Castro, took office as prime minister a few weeks after the triumph of the armed struggle. He said that on that day, the guerrilla leader became a statesman and opened the way to the laws expected by the people. The ceremony held at the Presidential Palace, today Museum of the Revolution, was broadcast on radio and television. At that time, the historic leader expressed that the revolution would have many obstacles ahead, and although it would not be able to do things perfectly, it would permanently seek rectification of all that was not well done. Díaz-Canel reminded that the commander-in-chief pointed out that what the revolution would never do is to be tolerant with the denial of the principles for which we have fought for. And in the international agenda, we have that the Cuban ballot supports the railway lines of the Mayan train that the Mexican government is building in states of that archaeological zone. President Andrés Manuel López Obrador explained that project on Thursday. In response to a question from a journalist at his regular morning press conference at the National Palace, the Mexican president said that indeed only 30% of the rocks purchased from Cuba contain the product, according to international standards. However, he explained that there are no losses because the rest of the rocks, 70%, is old and used in construction as gravel, so the reporter was silenced and accepted the explanation. López Obrador then had the opportunity to insist on his denunciations of the United States' criminal blockade against the Cuban people. He gave a very detailed explanation of the quality of the material and said it is a very special stone that does not exist abundantly in the Yucatan Peninsula. However, Balas does exist in Matanzas, Cuba, at a relatively close distance from Yucatan, where it is normally extracted, and not like in Mexico, which can damage archaeological sites and at a cost that is equal to the national cost. For all these reasons, it was decided to finally bring it, but with difficulties because Cuba is undergoing an unfair and criminal economic, commercial, and financial blockade and is on a unilateral list of alleged terrorist countries, so the Cuban people cannot do commercial and economic operations in almost the entire world. Meanwhile, the small and medium-sized enterprises that drive Puerto Rico's economy are being destroyed by the excessive increase in electricity prices, the president of the United Retailers Center, Lourdes Aponte Rodriguez, warned. She described the decision by the Fiscal Oversight Board as abusive and arbitrary and wondered what kind of economy can be built without the engine of small and medium-sized enterprises. That is why she categorically opposed the increase in the electric bills. The fiscal board proposal intends to pay for the next 30 years to creditors of the debt of the state-owned Puerto Rico Electric Power Authority, which has not been audited as demanded by several organizations. The engine that moves the economy of Puerto Rico are our small and medium enterprises, and they are destroying us little by little, she insisted. And this is all for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more news on the Caribbean that unites us.